Welcome to Historically St. Pete, a weekly conversation where we explore the truth and possibly the myths of the people and events that created the Sunshine City. Thanks for tuning in today. My name is Rudy Frias, and I have the best job in town. I'm the executive director of the St. Petersburg Museum of History. The Museum of History has been sharing the stories of the Sunshine City for 102 years, and we're so happy to share those stories with you here on Radio St. Pete. So today we have a special guest. He's born of alleged Russian nobility. Peter Demenz migrated to the United States in 1881 and wrote his way into our history books here in St. Pete in 1888 when his Orange Belt Railway arrived in the small town of Wardsville, which we'll talk about soon, later to be known as St. Petersburg. Truthfully, I gotta admit, actually our guest is Steve Reardon, who portrays our favorite crazy Russian railroader in an upcoming American stage production of Weird in St. Pete. Welcome, Steve. Thanks for joining us.
Здравствуйте. Hello. Welcome.
Oh, I love it. Yes.
Thank you for having me.
So before we talk about the production, let's talk about Peter. He has one of the most unusual histories of all those who came and went here in our history. And trust me, St. Pete has its share of men and women who came here with unbelievable stories, right?
That's for sure.
So what made you want to play him?
Oh, man. First of all, I was just so excited that I had the opportunity to read for him. St. Petersburg has been my home my whole life. When I was a child, a couple of little stints in South Florida, but most of my life, most of my youth was here in St. Pete, and I have a real sort of visceral love for this city that I can't really understand, and I don't know why that it's something that always stays with me, no matter where I go and try to do other things. Lived in New York City a bunch of times, but I always come back to St. Pete, and I obviously knew the story of Peter Demenz, and spent my whole life calling it Demon's Landing, and
so did everybody, right?
But I was really always fascinated by the lore around him, right? I mean, there's lore around his sort of history here, and why is it called St. Petersburg, and why is it called the Detroit Hotel, and all those things that we've heard growing up, and things like that. But to be able to kind of dive in and do real history research around him, it's been really fun, and just to be able to be the person that sort of is the guy in this show that we're doing, that is Peter Demenz. Like, it just feels like an honor, and it feels really close to my heart. I'm so excited to be doing it.
Well, listen, as a historian and, a self-proclaimed history geek of St. Pete history, love that you guys are doing this production, right? So for those who don't know, if you remember the old, beer commercial, the world's most, interesting man, can't hold a candle to Peter if these stories are all true.
Right.
And I personally, I think most of them are,
sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a different time, so people could do different things much easier back then. So if you don't know anything about Peter, let's just review a few of his things, right? First of all, he was possibly an officer in the Tsar's Royal Guard, right? So this is the guard that protected the Tsar of Russia. He eventually, I think he gets tired of that. I know he joins he gets elected to Russian parliament for a very short period of time. I think he gets bored with that. He eventually decides in 1881 to migrate to the United States. He arrives in Jacksonville, actually, where his family told him he should go. He doesn't really fit in Jacksonville. He eventually partners with a lumber mill outside of Jacksonville, and that lumber mill makes railroad ties, specifically. I mean, they do all kinds of stuff. But let me tell you, Peter, so you folks at home can't see this, obviously, but a little show and tell here. I have a business card, right, that is from Peter A. Demenz, architect, contractor, and builder, doors, sash, blinds, lumber, and building materials, the sole agent for South Florida for asbestos materials. I guess they didn't know what was happening back then, right? From Longwood, Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So,
yeah. Wow, that's really cool. I got to take a look at that when we're done here.
Absolutely. So he gets to Jacksonville. He partners with his lumber yard, doing pretty well. I mean, as you can tell, especially selling asbestos materials to everybody, right, back then, making railroad ties. And he supplies the small Orange Belt Railway with railroad ties, and the railroad, or the owner of the railroad, eventually cannot pay for that. He defaults on payment for it, and they work out a deal, and next thing you know, Peter is the owner of the Orange Belt Railway. Does Peter know anything about railroads?
Well, he knows about
how to ride them.
He knows maybe how to ride them, and he probably knows how to tell people he knows how to about them. I'm not sure how much he knows. You know, he's one of those guys that I think, you know, to your point, if all the stories are true, you know, he's one of those ones that tells stories and tells himself stories to make sure
yes.
that people think they're true, right?
So Peter, knew nothing about railroads and ran the Orange Belt Railway. And, you know, all the stars and the moons and stuff aligned, you know, because it was about this time that you know, the railroads were expanding in Florida, Flagler on the East Coast, Plant, of course, coming through the central part of the state to Tampa. There was a gentleman by the name of Hamilton Diston who had purchased, you know, 4 million acres of land in Florida for $1 million. That's the best land deal in the history of our state. he owned the southern tip of what is now Pinellas County. And he wanted a railroad because he wanted to build this amazing city called Diston City, of course. He owned land, so why not? You mm-hmm. can call it what you want.
Sure.
So he tries, you know, failed attempts to convince Flagler and Plant to bring their railroads to Diston City until he meets with Peter. And they make the decision that the railroad will be extended from Longwood all the way down right through the central and the west part of the state into Pinellas County. Until Peter meets General John Constantine Williams. So, again, this is Florida. We get to make things up. So, you know, and people believe it because John was never a general, right? That was just what he called himself and what his friends called him. So, long story short, he convinces John Williams, who owned about 1,700 acres of land, which we now know is downtown St. Petersburg, convinces Peter to take a sharp left turn at about 49th Street and 1st Avenue South and to head into his land because they had a vision, right? Their vision was that they were going to turn Williams property and the rest of Tampa Bay into the largest port east of New Orleans. So the plan was to have the trains feed the steamships that would tie up and vice versa, so the steamships would bring people and building materials, the trains could, you know, take out cattle, citrus, whatever. So the whole plan was, like I said, to team up with Tampa and turn us into this big port industrial area. So Peter jumps on this.
Sure.
Right? And starts expanding the train. And this is where Peter knows nothing about trains, or at least successfully, financially successfully, nearly bankrupt numerous times as the train. And if you don't know how, and I had to learn this when I taught U.S. history, the way railroads are built is that, you know, you've got a train, right, on a track, and that train is pulling all kinds of cars. It has building materials, sleeping quarters, cooking quarters. And as the train track is expanded, the train just chugs along behind it, right? So making its way down, it was so bad at one time that he ran out of money. He owed his, you know, the people he borrowed money from, he owed payments, couldn't pay them. One of his visitors actually chained the train to the track to stop it from moving until he paid off his debt.
Wow.
So, yeah, he had some struggles, but it made its way here. So finally, on June 8th, 1888, the Matty, which was the name of the locomotive, chugs its way into St. Petersburg. Now, and this is where the story is a little different from what people are told, because people always, you know, think that in a lot of our stories that, you know, obviously the train station was closer into downtown St. Pete. The first train depot, if you want to call it that, it was more of just like a stand, was basically at near Central Avenue and MLK. So that's where the train first stopped. And this is where the fun begins, right?
Right.
Because when Peter announces, and so you got to take this into consideration that, you know, when the railroad was expanding at this time, it made national news because this was, Florida was the final frontier. So mm-hmm. here we are, the train's expanding, America's expanding, we're growing, all this good stuff. He announces when he makes the decision that he's expanding his railroad to St. Petersburg, Florida, which creates a problem because John Williams, who owns the land, was going to call us Williamsville. How much fun would that would have been? Imagine an ESPN when the Rays on TV from Williamsville, Florida. No offense to anyone who's named Williams, right? But not quite as sexy as St. Petersburg.
It sounds like a baseball team, though.
That's true. That is very
Casey
true.
Casey at the bat in Williamsville.
That's perfect. So the confusing thing is when the train arrives on that 8th of June, it has one passenger, a shoe salesman from Savannah. So when the shoe salesman from Savannah purchased that ticket in Longwood, he purchased a ticket to St. Petersburg, Florida. So when he gets off the train, the sign says, "Welcome to Wardsville," which now confuses everybody, right? Because now we have three names.
Sure.
Yeah. So Ella Ward was the postmistress there. In that, it was called Old Town or Uptown, because really the birth of St. Petersburg, of downtown St. Petersburg, took place around that MLK Central area, mm-hmm. Central Avenue area. So it was known as Wardsville. Anyway, so long story short, thanks to Peter, we have our name, right? And it's not Williamsville or Wardsville for that matter. Let's just the coin flip. Growing up here, I heard this as a kid. I've read it in history books. I read it on the city's website, which is historically incorrect. And the coin flip. So do you know about the coin flip?
No. Well, of course. Between the guy from Detroit and St. Petersburg guy? Yeah, of course.
So Williams, right? Here's General John Constantine Williams.
Yes.
And Peter DeMenn standing in the middle of what is now Central Avenue, allegedly.
Yes, of course.
Flip a coin.
Yeah.
Winner names the city. Loser names the first hotel.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
Peter wins. We become St. Petersburg, Florida, named after the capital of Russia, his home country. John loses. The Detroit Hotel is the Detroit Hotel because he is from Detroit, Michigan. That's a really fun story, but it's not true.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the amount of times I've heard that story and told that story to people is really, you know.
The look on people's faces, like when we do our trolley tours and stuff, and I basically debunk it, and they're like, what?
Wait, it's the perfect story. Why would you screw it up?
Exactly. And we still tell it because it's fun. It's more fun than the real story. I mean, basically, it was just a business decision behind John's back. So, you know.
It just brings some, like, mystique and romance, right?
Of course. So, He eventually, you know, part of the deal is when he comes to St. Pete to bring the railroad here, he gets 250 acres of land, stays around for a little bit, and ends up technically losing the railroad. Doesn't do much with the land, ends up selling the land, leaves, goes to North Carolina, and then from there ends up in California. But the reason why this guy's story is so amazing, because here's this Russian guard of Russian nobility who comes to Florida, who buys a lumber yard, who becomes the owner of a railroad, who brings it down the Pinellas Peninsula, who creates the greatest city in the world here in St. Petersburg.
Amen. Right?
And then goes to North Carolina, starts a wood furniture business, right?
Right.
So all that famous North Carolina furniture is now credited to, you know, Peter DeMenz. And then he goes to California, where he allegedly plants the first citrus grove.
The
stories just keep going. And then, you know, it's just fantastic. And actually tells I can't remember who he told, but someone in the American government, when he came back from a trip from Europe, that warning them in early 1914, before the World War I started, that America should be preparing for the First World War because it was about to explode in Europe. Now I know why you want to play this guy.
I love hearing that story, like all of that background too, because, you know, this play, which is called Weird in St. Pete, being produced by American Stage at Floridorama, which is this awesome art installation in the Warehouse District, is really just about the crazy characters that were either real or lore from the history of St. Petersburg. So I think what's so cool about it is that he was a seeker. He was a storyteller. He was somebody that, you know, knew how to kind of create a real identity around him, even if he wasn't this gold star general or this person that was, you know, doing all these great things. But I think, like any great historian, creating stories about who you are is sort of what makes you infamous, right? Or famous.
Right.
Whatever the case may be.
So, I mean, obviously this guy's complex, right?
Yeah.
So how do you tackle this?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I think I love so much about the play is that it's not really a history play. You know, it's really one of those, and we're doing it at Floridorama, like I said, which is this very kind of cool fever dream of art. And each story, you know, you buy a ticket, you go through this installation, and each room has a different story, and that you meet these people in a way that almost feels dreamlike. So it's not so much this hard history; it's more about like this guy. His lore lives in this great city, and he talks about what home is to him. So it's a really kind of a more soft approach to this person as an individual, and I love that about him. I love that I can be human with him, like, because I don't, it's not as much of an interest to me to tell his story from a historical perspective. It's really more about getting people to know, like, what he's like behind the curtain, and all of these people are sort of given that opportunity in this show, which is really cool.
So I didn't know this until a couple years ago that I read this somewhere, that he is actually more famous in Russia than he is here.
That's pretty
and
cool.
Everywhere in, you know, in Russia, there's, he gets the recognition of being the founder of St. Petersburg, Florida.
Yeah,
right?
of course.
There's the whole discussion on, no, he wasn't, or, you know, that
yeah,
type of thing. So,
right.
Especially if you go downtown, because if you go to the end of Demen's Landing on the water's edge, there's a big boulder thing there,
sure,
a plaque on it,
yep,
you know, put forth the, declaring him as the founder of St. Petersburg. Go across the street to Williams Park and you're going to see a big plaque there with, you know, saying that John Williams is the founder of St. Petersburg.
Right.
So, and now, in saying all of that, now, so my Jesse Breckenridge, who's our archivist and collections manager at the museum, she curated an exhibit we have, a women's exhibit, this meddling, the women who built St. Petersburg is what the exhibit is called. And in her, you know, deep dives on those rabbit holes of history, she discovered, now she's claiming actually that Sarah Williams, John's wife, is actually the founder of St. Petersburg.
Wow.
She's the one who actually finally convinced the railroad to come, sign the deal, all that stuff like
that's
that.
That's probably so true. I mean, women usually have the final say in stuff like that.
I agree 100%, 100% with that. So, so tell us, you know, how long the show runs?
Yeah, sure. We actually open tonight, and we run for 8 performances, the 27th through this Sunday, and then we open again on Halloween, go through the 3rd of November. And what's cool about it is that it's not like you sit down and watch the show. You buy a time slot, and we every 30 minutes from 6 o'clock on, you can buy a time slot and hop in and walk down this path with all these crazy, awesome, cool characters. It's only about an hour long, and you also get to experience Floridorama if you've never been there. So it's a really great... it's a great family outing. It's a great date night. It's really a fun, sort of like easy thing to experience and have a good time with. And it's not too much of like a drag on the brain. You can have a glass of wine and enjoy it. You know what I mean?
It's not a history lesson in high school. Is what you're saying?
Yeah. It's more like a history lesson, like on acid, maybe.
That's the way we like them, right? So, who else is portrayed in this?
Yeah, so it's a great little cast. It's, first of all, the play was written by Helen R. Murray, who's the current associate. I'm not an associate, I'm sorry. I'll say that again. Helen R. Murray wrote Weird in St. Pete. She is the current artistic director of American Stage, and she created kind of world, and there's 7 of us. One is Mary, who was, her last name is escaping me, but she apparently was the first documented case of spontaneous combustion in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Mary Reeser.
Thank
yes.
you. She's going to
yes.
really kill me when I get to work tonight.
Oh,
and then there's some animal characters there that are infamous in St. Petersburg. I'm not going to tell their names because I want you to come and see it. And then there is, you know, a really, really famous author who retired here and has a house here and is known to haunt the Flamingo Bar. I think maybe you know who I'm talking about.
Anne Haslam's bookstore.
Yeah, he has the run of the show these days at Haslam's. He's the only one there.
Exactly.
And so it's really just, again, a love letter to the city. It's a city. It's a play about why we as residents love St. Petersburg. Why, you know, in the midst of whatever drama we may be going through or things we're recovering from, we can remember why this is our home. And it's just such a blast. I mean, I just have so much fun, and it's interactive, so you get to interact with the people that walk through, and it's a ball, man. You have to come check it out.
I can't tell you how exciting this is for us, like, you know, because 20 years ago, St. Pete's history wasn't cool.
right?
You know what I mean? And
totally.
You know, like, now it's cool. Now you walk down, you know, Central Avenue, and all the little shops have, you know, retro St. Pete things and stuff. I'm thinking, gosh, 20 years ago.
I got a hat on right now.
I know. I mean, you never would have seen that, right? So this is, I mean, the things that we've been standing on the rooftop shouting for years finally is coming to fruition, right?
Yeah.
With everybody
yeah.
loving our city's history. So I seriously appreciate you guys doing this. What's coming down the road? Anything for you?
Oh gosh, yes. I have some great things coming down the road. This is my first opportunity to work with American Stage, so I just want to, you know, just thank them for this opportunity. This series of plays is called Beyond the Stage. It's not their main stage series, but what's great about that is we're really trying to get out in the community to do these things that will get people interested in what Main Stage is doing. So I hope to come back and maybe do some more with them. I'm starting a theater company next year with a couple of friends, so that's exciting. And of course, I have my my own show here on Radio St. Pete, the Stephen Reardon Show. So that really is highlighting all the art and artists that are young and trying to make a go of it here in our great city.
Awesome. Well, Steve, thank you so much for joining us on Historically St. Pete and sharing these great stories. Especially, I mean, listen, folks, you need to go out. Where can they go online to buy tickets?
Yeah, so go to AmericanStage.org and just put in Weird in St. Pete, and you'll have the opportunity to buy a time slot. And then, of course, don't go to the American Stage main stage. We won't be there. Come to Floridorama and have a great time with us.
Fantastic. So I invite everyone to tune in weekly to Radio St. RadioSt.Pete.com. For Historically St. Pete, and to stop by the Museum of History on your next visit to the pier to explore the rich and unique history of the Sunshine City. You can visit HistorySt.Pete.org for more details on our exhibits and our new historic trolley, segway, and boat tours. So thank you for listening, and join us next week on Historically St. Pete.